book of Philippians. And then...
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are preparing to go to Tallahassee to actually lobby our legislators to protect every innocent human life. And in preparation for that, we are actually going to go over biblical principles that cover what pro-life legislation, what legislation on life should actually be, what it should entail. As in with every subject, we are going to look at the Word of God. We're not going to look at polls. We're not going to look at what is a popular opinion. You know, at one point, it was a popular opinion in America that one man could own another man. That was wrong, even though it was held by some people in this country. It was still wrong. In fact, there were states that seceded from the Union over that issue, over states' rights. And, of course, the state right they were most concerned about was actually owning slaves. And today, the civil rights and human rights issue of the day is the primary civil rights and human rights issue of the day is the right to life of every human being in the womb and out of the womb all the way until natural death. I'm the president of Personhood Florida, where we are working to protect human life from the beginning of biological development all the way until natural death. We're also working to protect human life created in laboratories. So one of the things that does happen today, believe it or not, is that scientists are actually experimenting on humans in laboratories. They're creating human life through artificial insemination, and then they're actually mixing genes with humans and animals. And they've actually created glow-in-the-dark human embryos by taking a portion of a jellyfish, a glow-in-the-dark portion of a jellyfish, and mixing it with a tiny human embryo and then destroying this human just a few days later. Scientists have actually taken cow and human genes and mixed them together. This type of experimentation could be happening even in the state of Florida. In addition, one of the things that does happen, we know that this does happen, is that scientists are taking stem cells from aborted babies, and they're actually using those for treatment. We should never be encouraging, and this, by the way, does encourage abortion, makes abortion more profitable, and does not give dignity to the human life that was actually destroyed by abortion. There are, by the way, adult stem cell research that actually is effective, and human embryonic, destructive embryonic stem cells are not effective. Sometimes human embryos are actually created for the purpose of extracting stem cells and then destroyed. We are working to protect human life that is created in the laboratory. We should not be experimenting on human life. We also are working to protect the disabled. Did you know that 90% of those human beings that are diagnosed in the womb with Down syndrome, they actually die by abortion? And 10% of those tests are actually false positives, which means that those children did not even have Down syndrome, but they were killed solely because they had a disability. That was the only reason that they were actually put to death. We're also working to protect senior citizens. By the way, this is very necessary, especially in today's society where more and more of the population, a larger and larger percentage of the population is getting older and older. And there are people who in this country who don't believe that these seniors should be living anymore. Some of them even in the hospital, some of the nurses even have that opinion. We need to work to protect, to make sure that we never hasten death in seniors by starvation, dehydration, and or over medication. Certainly, there are decisions that every person should and every family should make, and these should be discussed ahead of time. And it's your choice whether you go on a ventilator. It's your choice whether you have an expensive machine pump your heart. But it should never be, we should never deprive human beings of water, of food, or over-medicate them to hasten them to die. We actually also have a Sanctuary for Life petition. And if you want to sign this petition, you can actually go to personhoodflorida.com and you can click Get Petition and you can download and sign this or even sign it online. But it reads, I support designating the city, county, state, and nation I live in as sanctuaries for life where the God-given right to life of every human being at any stage of development shall be recognized and protected. And we are working to actually encourage cities and counties and our state to protect innocent human life. We also would encourage our federal government to protect innocent human life. You may or may not know this. If you've listened to our sermons on this topic, you do know this. But if you haven't, it may come as a surprise to you that babies are still being aborted in our state. And we actually are still killing preborn children. There are no laws that prevent the experimentation of innocent human life. And sometimes seniors are not treated properly. Sometimes they are deprived of food or water. Sometimes they are over-medicated to hasten their death. We need to fight to protect the right to life of every innocent human being. We also have a proposed Personhood Act that we are encouraging the legislators to actually support the God-given right to life of every human being at any stage of development shall be recognized and protected. Very simple language. It needs to be done. We need to protect innocent human life. We are looking for Florida senators, Florida House members that will have the courage to sponsor such a bill. We will next week be going over, actually, the proposed legislation that deals with life, that deals with adoption, that deals with pregnancy. We'll be going over that next week. But so far, what we see as being supported or being presented or sponsored or co-sponsored, so far there is not a single bill that would restore the humanity, the right to life to preborn children. There are, in fact, some bills that have been proposed and have been submitted that would actually expand the quote-unquote right of a woman to pay an abortionist to rip her baby limb from limb, or to pay an abortionist to prescribe chemicals that will deprive the preborn child of the necessary hormones to survive. And then another chemical that would cause her to go into a violent delivery, where she actually delivers a dead baby on her own toilet, and the toilet water washes away the blood, and she sees a very tiny yet perfectly formed human being created in God's image, a human being that should never be destroyed. Of course, other types of abortion that are out there are suction machines, where suction machines just rip a baby limb from limb. Or later on, in there's the DNC abortion, where actually a curette is actually inserted into the mother's womb, and the baby's arms and legs are sliced off, and portions of the baby are killed, and sometimes the skull is actually crushed before being delivered from the mother. Or even later term abortions, where you have babies being poisoned in the womb with saline solution or with other types of drugs, and then the mother delivering a dead baby. Or the partial birth abortion, where a woman actually delivers almost fully a baby, and then the brains of the baby are sucked out, and the baby's skull is crushed to make it easier to remove this baby. Sadly, there are people that want to expand the right of women to do that to their offspring, or to pay an abortionist to do that to their offspring. When we look at the Bible, one of the things we're going to look at is we're going to look at the biblical principles behind the protection of every innocent human life. And one of the things we see is that legislation must protect human life, for the reason that we are created in God's image. And this principle is called Imago Dei, in the image of God. And we find this from Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is the reason to protect every innocent human life. You see, when we start saying, well, you know, the human being has to have certain capabilities. It has to actually be able to perform a certain function, has to be able to contribute to society. When we start to add qualifications, what we're doing is we're saying that even though this human being is created in God's image, this human being can still be killed. And so we need to base the value. If the value of human life is based on a bodily function, then we actually look at Jalen Hurts or Tom Brady or another famous quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. And we say, well, they are successful. They can actually move in the pocket. They can throw a touchdown pass. They can run. They are successful, and we should actually protect their life. But we can actually take Terry Schiavo, who in the state of Florida, in this state, was actually starved and dehydrated to death because a judge ruled that she was brain dead. She was actually starved, deprived of food and water, died a very harmful and very harsh death because she was starved and dehydrated to death. The value of human life is not based on bodily function. It's not based on what you can contribute, not based on what you can bring to the table, not based on how much you can earn, not based on how pretty you are, or how handsome you are, how talented you are, how productive you are. Your human life is valuable, even if you can't do anything, even if you were paralyzed and couldn't get out of bed, your life is still valuable because you were created in God's image. And from the preborn child in the womb, or the preborn child in the laboratory, all the way to that senior citizen that's in a hospital bed and can't do anything, or to the disabled, every human life should be recognized and protected because we are created in God's image. Another important principle is that legislation must never devise evil by law. And this principle comes from Psalm 94, verses 20 through 21. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Most pro-life, quote-unquote pro-life legislation actually has this problem, that it actually devises evil by law. It says something like, no abortion shall be performed unless there's first an ultrasound, or there's parental consent, or there's a 24-hour waiting period, or the preborn child is first anesthetized. How absurd is it that we can legalize, the thought that we can legalize the murder of a preborn child if we only have an ultrasound first, or if the parents consent? In fact, sometimes, quite often, in fact, the parents are actually pushing their daughter, their teenage daughter, or their teenage son toward abortion. If there's a 24-hour waiting period, you know, while these laws may have the intent of reducing abortion, what they are is actually evil, because they specifically allow abortion when certain conditions are met. So imagine if we applied this same principle to slavery or to lynching. And say, no one shall own a slave unless, or no one shall lynch anyone unless they first see a picture of the person they intend to lynch, or the person they intend to own as a slave. They have their parents' consent to own a slave or to lynch someone. They have waited 24 hours from the time they wanted to own a slave or lynch someone before they actually carried out that action. Or the person that is being lynched is actually first anesthetized. How absurd would making that argument be? Yet pro-life legislators pass laws that have these same types of exceptions and these types of specific terminology that specifically allows for the destruction of innocent human life. And some pro-life organizations actually praise them and say, isn't this great that we have this law? The Bible says that we should not have laws that legislate evil. And any law that specifically allows an innocent human being to be sliced limb from limb, to be destroyed, is an evil law. Another principle is that legislation must not punish children for the sins of their fathers. And this comes from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sins. For his own sin. And so they're actually, one of the things that happens with abortion is you have rape and incest exceptions. Another one that's been added recently is human trafficking exceptions. And the problem with these is that we're not realizing, and these exceptions don't give the right to life to the preborn child that's done nothing wrong. The Constitution says no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. The Constitution of the State of Florida says that we all have the right to enjoy and defend life. The preborn child has done nothing wrong. In the case of rape, in the case of incest, in the case of human trafficking, we need to prosecute the ones who are guilty of rape, the ones who are guilty of incest, the ones who are guilty of human trafficking. We should not be putting their children, their preborn children, to death. And so when we look at this, we need to have a biblical worldview. We're not supposed to punish children for the sins of their fathers. And that's exactly what happens when we allow abortion in the case of rape, when a woman's been raped. And by the way, women who have been raped and also have had an abortion, we've talked to some of them, we've done interviews with some of them, and they've said that the abortion was more difficult to go through than the rape was. And they have to live for the rest of their lives knowing that they made a decision that resulted in the death of their child. Certainly a child that they didn't happen through a loving relationship, yet a child who still was created in God's image, an innocent human being that had done nothing wrong. In this nation, in every state of this nation, 70 years ago, the penalty for rape was either death or life in prison. Today, rapists are sentenced to maybe 10 years for a first offense. They get out maybe in 5 years. They're put on a sexual offender list, but their child, their preborn child, is actually executed. One of the things that we need to realize when we're talking about rape and incest, human trafficking exceptions, is that these exceptions actually have a face. They actually are people. And there are exceptions. We have a board member of Personhood Florida, Pam Stenzel, who doesn't even know her ethnicity, because she was a product of rape, and at a time where her mother was in foster care, her mother gave her up for adoption because abortion was not legal in the case of rape. Also, Rebecca Kiesling is another one who was conceived in rape. And there are women today that were conceived in rape. There are men that were conceived in rape. There are human beings. And there actually have been some pro-life converts to a no-exception position. And one was Rick Perry when he was running for president in the 2012 presidential election. Rebecca Kiesling asked him about his position on abortion. And he said, I'm opposed to abortion except in the cases of rape, incest, and life of the mother. And she said, I was conceived in rape. And right on the spot, he actually changed his position. You may have heard of Abby Johnson. Abby Johnson was pressured by pro-life organizations to support legislation that actually supported, that allowed abortion in the cases of rape and incest. And she was challenged by Rebecca Kiesling on this and has taken a stance to protect every innocent human life without exception. She also talks about how in abortion, when there's a rape, that the preborn child that was killed is actually saved as evidence against the rapist. Imagine that this preborn child that's done nothing worthy of death is actually executed and then becomes evidence against the rapist. Legislation must also protect the mother and her preborn baby, her preborn child. So one of the things, this principle comes from Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 23. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if harm follows, then you shall give life for life. So in Dublin, Ireland, there's a Dublin Declaration where over 1,000 medical providers who in a state, in a nation where abortion had been illegal for years and years and years, They stated with in their Dublin Declaration, they affirm that abortion is not medically necessary to save the life of a woman. True doctors, when there's a situation where the mother's life is at stake, fight to save both the life of the preborn child and the life of the baby. You know, both the life of the... True doctors, real doctors, fight to save both the life of the mother and the life of her preborn child. You see, we actually have some... We actually have experience with this. And my wife, when she was pregnant with our first child, she actually was sick, and the doctors told us, well, we don't know what causes the sickness, but we know what actually would cure it, and that's delivering the baby. But they knew that our baby would be much more healthy and have a better chance of living outside the womb if we gave her time to develop. And so they allowed our daughter to stay inside my wife's womb, and they monitored my wife, and they actually kept her in there as long as they could. When my wife's life, when her vital signs started deteriorating rapidly, they took action and they actually delivered her. And thankfully, both mother and child were protected. There are some cases where the preborn child can't be protected, and the preborn child may have to be delivered before the mother can actually, before that preborn child can live outside the womb. But that's very different than purposely killing a preborn child. Thankfully, doctors, real doctors, fight to save both lives, and legislation should actually require that doctors fight to save the life of the preborn child and the life of the mother. The Bible tells us that we are to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. We are to stand up and to fight on behalf of preborn children. And it is incumbent for the church, for God's people, to actually fight to save innocent human life. So I want to encourage you over the next week or two to contact your state legislator and encourage them to protect every innocent human life without exception.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
To you, what you're going through, but I don't know what you're feeling. Does anyone know what you're feeling right now? You're afraid the future's like an
enemy. And you just wish you could see, 'cause you don't know where you're going. Don't let it keep you from hoping.